Its rusted metal sides were so high that Banks could see only their heads and shoulders. The crime scene lay half a mile south of the village of Coverton, which stood at the very limits of the North Yorkshire County line, at the tip of the Yorkshire Dales National Park, across the A66 from Barnard Castle. The only way to get to the body, Banks had been told over the phone, was to walk along the old railway track or through the woods that ran parallel to them about 50 yards to the east. The railway ran dead straight along a narrow, shallow U-shaped valley cut into the landscape. The embankments were steep and grassy on both sides, and while there were plenty of weeds growing in the unkempt grass, no one had dumped prams, bicycle frames or refrigerators there, as people did in the more urban areas. The rails and sleepers had been taken up long ago, and the track had been paved over, though many of the flagstones were broken or uneven, and hardy weeds insinuated their way through the cracks. It seemed a long half mile to Banks, especially with the rain and wind whipping right at him down the man-made valley. The only human dwelling Banks saw on his journey stood to his right, just before he got to the bridge, a small square cottage at the top of the embankment. When Banks got to the outer cordon, he showed his warrant card to the officer on duty, who lifted the tape for him and handed him a protective hooded overall and shoe covers. Awkwardly, he took off his raincoat and put them on over his clothes. This area was where the CSIs and other officers, not required at the immediate scene, waited until they were needed. Only essential personnel were allowed through to the inner cordon, inside the tent itself, and as few people as possible at a time. Already, the CSIs were busy fixing up extra lights, as the early November morning was overcast and dull. Banks poked his head inside the canvas flap and saw the crime scene manager, Stefan Novak, as immaculate as ever and dry, along with Dr. Burns, the police surgeon, and Detective Sergeant Winsome Jackman, all in their white coveralls. Peter Darby, the crime scene photographer, crouched by the body, taking photographs with his beat-up old Pentax, his state-of-the-art handycam in its waterproof case hanging over his shoulder. They all turned to greet Banks, except Darby. Suddenly the tent seemed crowded, and its humid interior smelled like a wet dog. Banks saw the crumpled body of an emaciated old man, wearing a grey anorak and blue jeans, lying on his back. His neck lay at an impossible angle, one arm was bent in the opposite way to which it should have been, and a sharp knife of bone protruded through the denim on his inner right thigh. His clothes were wet with rain, and Banks wondered how long he'd been there. "Okay," Banks said to Winsome. "What happened? Run me through it." "A dog walker found the body," Winsome said, without referring to her notebook. "Or rather, her dog did. 8:37, to be precise." Banks checked his watch. It was 10:05.
"That's very precise."
"She's a retired schoolteacher, probably used to checking her watch every now and then to see when the lesson's due to end."
Banks laughed.
"I never realized how the teachers might have hated classes as much as we did. I used to believe they existed just to bore us and terrorize us."
"Children often take a very self-centered view of the world."
"Her name's Marjorie Holton, sir,"
came a voice from just beyond the tent's entrance flap.
"Sorry for interrupting, but I'm PC Barry Kerwin, Coverton Beat Manager. I was first officer on the scene. Marjorie knows me. She came straight to my house, and I followed her up here, and saw who it was, and then I called it in."
Banks walked back and ducked under the flap into the open.
"Where is she now?"
"One of the community support officers took her home, sir. Bit of a state."
"I'm not surprised," said Banks.
"Who was he?"
"Her name's Gavin Miller, sir."
"Local, then?"
PC Kerwin pointed.
"Lived in that old signalman's cottage, just up there, other side of the bridge. You must have noticed it on your way here."
Banks turned and looked at the squat cottage he had just passed. Bijou would be a kind description.
"What do you know about him? What did he do for a living?"
"Don't know much about him at all, sir. Not much of a mixer. Kept himself to himself."